I can think of lots of you who over the years have known what it is like a bolt from the blue, not after always long death or long illness, to have the phone ring and hear those words, your son or daughter, sister, brother, parent, friend, has died. Death is certain, but even then it's unpredictable, and it is awful. And it is with this tension of what is certain and what isn't that the teacher is wrestling with and says, and we wrestle too. Wrestle with me, he invites us. But as we do that, he wants us to wrestle not just because it's all despair, but he says, because there is something better in the middle. There is the peanut butter, if you will, between the bread. He wants us to go and enjoy the life God has given us. To go and enjoy the life God's given us. Let me just read verses 7 to 10. Go, eat your food with gladness. Drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white. Always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Pulls together all these imperatives. Go, eat, drink, enjoy, do. They're all commands in light of the bread either side to go and live life as it's been given. And to be clear, he's not simply just instructing that pagan motto of doom, you know, eat and drink for tomorrow you die. No, it's much more profound than that. He's saying, eat and drink the gifts that God has given you, for he's approved of these things. It pleases him when we go and enjoy the things he's given us, the life he longs us to live. He takes us, in a word, if you like, back to Genesis, where God makes and then gives and then shares all that he's done and describes those things as being good and very good before the fall. Friends, this is what God longs for us to do. It's his approval. This isn't hedonism. It is holiness, living the life he's given. Perhaps you've seen the film Dead Poets Society, perhaps made most famous by Robin Williams, star turn as the inspirational English teacher with a sort of disaffected class who he longs to infuse. And he does that with a motto which he really sort of made most famous in many ways in the West through that film, I think, Carpe Diem. Put it on the vernacular. Seize the day, he told that class. Grab it. Live it. And yet the teacher here isn't simply saying, seize the day, but receive the day that you've been given. It isn't yours to simply grab. You might miss, and your elbows might be out, which means others won't enjoy it. No, it's to be received, enjoyed. It's a gift that's been given. Not seize the day, receive the day. We're the creatures, and our Creator has given us life and his world to enjoy. And time and again, Ecclesiastes has taught me, and I think lots here from what we've been saying, I need to hear that and do that. Perhaps you do. It's often very fashionable in sort of our Christian circles to sort of shun everything in this life because we've got the next. We do. But we're to enjoy what we've been given, the life he's given us to live. Now, of course, it can be confusing, can't it, when we try to resolve this tension as a Christian, resolving it here with the teacher, but living it on this side of the cross and resurrection. What does it mean to live the life God's given us, if it, on the one hand it's futile and frustrated and fading to death, and yet we also, on the other hand, know where we're headed in Christ? What does it mean to live it now for Christ first and foremost? What does it look like day to day? I think, as one writer helped me see it, it's about enjoying God's gifts And so giving him the praise and glory as the giver. And not simply making the gifts the gods. Which means we cut the giver off and simply live for life now, forgetting who they're from and what they're for. Perfect timing. I read a letter to The Guardian in this little magazine I get each week. And I think it sums it up really well. I am an 89-year-old widow living alone with my children overseas, siblings dead, and all other relatives now out of reach. Mr. Head's words in his letter about older people no longer finding much pleasure in the things they used to worried me. We need to find new things to enjoy. It's depressed me how many people were so surprised I watched Euro 2020. Why? I've discovered now how to record early morning TV gems such as operas from Sydney Harbour, and tomorrow I'm starting lessons on how to use my late husband's iPad. When it comes that I can no longer get out unaided, this is the kind of help I hope for. Friends who'll pick up bright new things for me to wear from charity shops to make sure that when the rugby starts, I have a bottle of San Miguel in the fridge and a bag of crisps at my side each weekend. To tell me about new books they've read and then loan them to me. To ask me about my adventures. I've caught a fish from the African Queen and seen Mount Everest. The most important lesson of all is life is for living. And I thank God for mine every day. So getting at the heart of what it is, isn't it? To enjoy the life this widow has been given, but thanking the God who gave it to them every day. I was thinking perhaps an updated list, if I can, a list of 7 to 10, and in light of what this letter says, that an updated list for the Christian might read something like this. Enjoy a delicious meal and feed the hungry. Enjoy your marriage and your mates, and then look after the lonely. Drink that vintage wine or delicious full-fat Coke. Decorate your home and then open it to others. Buy a beautiful dress and clothe the poor. Laugh until you cry and comfort those who mourn. Play football, go diving, ring your parents, learn a language, speak of Christ, plant your garden, plant a church, love your neighbours, love your enemies. Teacher longs for us to go and enjoy the life God has given us. And to do that as those in Christ, living all that he shares. But as we close and draw things together with this teacher, we see, I hope, he offers something of this sandwich. The filling is more tasty than the bread either side because there's a tension. We've got to get through the bread to get to the middle. Death is certain. Life is unpredictable. And it isn't easy as we sort of look at our delicious middle filling to quite know what the teacher knew about the afterlife themselves as they wrote. But it is striking, and perhaps you noticed, that as we read through the list of the gifts that he focuses in on in 7 to 10, those gifts speak of things that are foreshadowed and fulfilled in Christ and picked up again later in the Bible. So he talks about eating and drinking, of being in white, anointed in oil. There's wedding language here, being with the one you love, relationship language. There's a language here of being approved. In fact, if we go home and look again at Psalm 23, as Chris alluded to with the children, it picks up that language, head anointed, banqueting table, of gifts being given. Isaiah 25 pictures this banquet table in heaven of being full of rich food and fine wine. Jesus describes heaven as being invited in to a banquet. John the Apostle glimpses it in Revelation 19 as a marriage supper with a bride, the church, clothed in fine linen, washed pure in white. There's a sense as we draw these threads together that we can see that what is given now to enjoy will, just like that lad on camp, actually only make us homesick for heaven, where it will be perfectly fulfilled. You see, as we go through life and wrestle with the tension, boring bits of bread, more hope fulfilling, we sense, don't we, they point to more. whether it's the certainty of death that we long to go, or the enjoyment of life that never quite fulfills. We're homesick. And C.S. Lewis puts it brilliantly in his, children's book, The Last Battle, but they're super reads. And it's as they come to the last book at the end of the series, where the children and animals are moving from the old Narnia, think life in the world, to the new. And they're discovering, as they do that, that every rock and every flower and every blade of grass that they thought was wonderful in Narnia somehow actually looks like it was meant for more. And it says here, almost on the last page, it was the unicorn who summed up what everyone was feeling. He stamped his right forehoof on the ground and neighed and cried, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." The reason why we love the old Narnia is that it sometimes looked a little like this. So let's go. Come further up. Come further in. He shook his mane, sprang forward into a great gallop, a unicorn's gallop, which in our world would have carried him out of sight in a few moments. See, friends, perhaps we're someone this morning who wouldn't say we're in Christ and know what it is to be truly home. And that might mean that you've sort of, if you're honest and being truthful to yourself, you've abandoned yourself in this life to, quite simply, eating and drinking and escaping, really. Because actually that's all it looks like there is all to do before we die. So carpe diem, we better seize the day, right? And yet if you're with Christ this morning, well then let's praise our souls to the King of Heaven and cherish each and every gift that he gives, because they all will look a little like what we will do after we die when we're with him perfectly in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words and recognize the tension, the challenges of living this life, longing to enjoy it, and yet so often thrown by the certainty of death and life's unpredictability, even our last hours being unpredictable. And yet we want to heed your command to go and enjoy and to see all that it points to. Please help us to live in your world, your way, loving it, delighting and sharing in the gifts you've given to enjoy. But to do that as those who are homesick, as those who we know in this life won't be truly satisfied. And we pray you'd help us to live longing for that day where we're truly and forever home. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.